Sounded like you turned your chainsaw on there at the beginning of the show.
Well, that certainly gets your blood moving. I'm a rock and roller at heart, so this is fine with me. But
you know, getting your blood moving on a cold day like this is
that's a
like
good thing.
It's a requirement.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's 16 degrees out there, and I really don't even want to mention that again.
Yes,
that's one of those blood chilling things to say. What the current outdoor temperature is.
This is cold weather for here this time of year. It isn't usually this cold in December. This is peculiar.
Very frigid.
Yeah. So
so what is it normally? Or should I ask Bob later in the show?
Well, Bob, he would know best of all.
Yeah.
but temperatures prior to Christmas ought to be up in the 30s during the day and 20s at night.
See, now that I can handle.
Yeah.
That's no problem. But,
this is January, maybe even February, which is generally colder than January.
Yeah.
This is not typical for now.
Yeah, this is like heart of winter temperatures. Yeah.
This doesn't mean there's no climate change. It just means it's cold. I just wanted to make sure we didn't run with this.
I love how he just puts that right in there. It's not even on the hit parade today.
Sneak it in.
Well, in case you're wondering, my name is Jeremy Lawrence. His name is Roger. We'll see you later.
Yeah, yep, the show's over.
Okay.
we've peaked. We might as well go home now.
You know, the rest is just downhill from here. So, you know what, we'll just play unlicensed music.
Yes.
No, but we've got a little show here that we like to call
something.
Something, I don't know. But lots of things that we're going to be discussing today. Just here in a little bit later in the show. We're going to have a discussion about Pope Francis. Time magazine has named him Person of the Year. We're going to talk a little bit about what he's done, all the different things that he's been a part of. Before we get to that, though, some big stuff has happened in the last 24 hours. And one of those big things is a new abortion law that has been passed. Interesting things. If you've been totally like out of the state or out of the country, as it were, and haven't heard a thing about this. This was a proposal that was put forward, I guess Right to Life put this together, to be able to bypass getting the governor's signature. Something similar to this was put up before, and the governor vetoed it. Well, it came back before the legislature, and they've passed this. And basically, it's my understanding, 90 days from now, it is law. And what the law is going to be is that if you want to get an abortion and have it covered by your health insurance, you have to get a specific rider to go along with that to be able to have insurance pay for it. I think that's the handling of the law as I understand it. Am I right on that, Roger?
Yeah, yeah. No, I would that's exactly what the law says. And
Now, as you can imagine, Right to Life is celebrating their victory, you know, popping champagne corks or whatever it is that they use to celebrate. The pro-choice movement, not too happy about the whole thing. I think we've heard some comments to the effect of, well, 4% of the people who had signed off on this thing have hijacked the process, et cetera, et cetera. Things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not quoting word for word, so please don't say that I am. But those are kind of some of the things, and it really sets the stage for, even though the Right to Life people are saying that this is over, this is done, this is law, let's move on, I don't think this is done. There's something about this I sense more is ahead on this particular issue.
Well, Obamacare is law. And you don't see Republicans in Congress saying, well, this is law. We've got to move on. They want to repeal Obamacare still. And it is no more acceptable for Right to Life to say, well, this is law. Mm-hmm. Everybody forget it now. There's no changing laws.
Sure, sure. Well, and I would expect any time that you have opposition to something that there's going to be the process of, well, we got to get our resources together and see if we can't make a change here. If you don't like a law, that is your complete right to be able mm-hmm. to advocate for its change. And, you know, in the state, in the country, that sort of thing. Now, in terms of the issue itself, the way that this whole thing was brought up, I will preface the whole discussion by saying that I am pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the problem with this, as I look at it, is that there doesn't seem to be a provision here to be able to say, all right, life of the mother, rape or incest, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in there.
Right.
And we've not really heard that definitively except from the pro-choice side. So you kind of want to, you know, and I don't want to say the pro-choice side is lying any more than I want to say the pro-life side is lying. But I always think there's the third side of the story, and that's the truth.
But you can't, with any insurance, you can't wait till you have a claim to buy the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the pro-choice lobby is correct in referring to this as rape insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can make a decision that if I get pregnant, I'm going to have the child and I will not have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reasonable choice for a woman to make.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when the doctor comes and says, your life's at risk? We mm-hmm. need to terminate this pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you're raped?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to buy extra insurance knowing you're never going to want an abortion on the outside chance you may need one?
Mm-hmm.
I am opposed personally to abortion. But I don't think it's a governmental function to make that decision for people.
The interesting thing about this, and let's put this on parallel track to Obamacare. Obamacare basically says everybody has to buy health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at this on a smaller scale, it's basically saying that if you think at some point in the future you're going to need an abortion, rape insurance, or whatever else might happen, you're going to have to buy this rider if you're female.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think from that standpoint, yeah, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you've got to look at this. And I know that there's a whole lot of purists on both sides of the debate that will say, you're pro-life if you want life 100% of the time. And this, you know, and I've talked to them before.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very much, it's ideologically pure, I guess, to a certain degree.
Well, and you get that on both sides.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
There are ideologues that are progressive or liberal,
mm-hmm.
and there
mm-hmm.
are conservative ideologues who just can't see any other way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think in this case, this is one of these things where you look at it and you think, you know what? It might have been good to have a little bit of discussion before it happened
mm-hmm.
to be able to say, all right, let's think this through. Let's think about, and obviously Right to Life can't do that from that because they have to be purists.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a legislative standpoint, that's where legislators can stand up and say, all right, let's be real, let's be reasonable, and let's look at this and see what needs to be done so that we can all get on board, or most of us anyway, instead mm-hmm. of having what looks to be a, by and large, partisan vote both directions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were a few Democrats that crossed over and voted with Republicans, but it was largely along party lines.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it comes down to do you run other people's lives?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see in the Constitution where it says there are certain internal organs in your body that you don't control that the government can. And I don't believe in government being that intrusive to enter your body and tell you what you can do with parts of it. In this law, I wouldn't be as opposed if they would consider life of the mother and rape as legitimate reasons. I could see it if a woman knows she will never, ever want an abortion, no matter what, she shouldn't have to pay for abortion insurance. It's the fact that they made this decision in the case of rape or life of the mother. They made this decision for women in the state of Michigan, and that's what I find appalling.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we could argue a little more over all of that, but instead, you know what? Let's open up the phone lines.
All right.
382-4280 is the local number. You can also call toll-free 877-382-4280 and get with us. Maybe you think that we're just both completely wrong on this. We'd love to hear from you regardless. Hey, we could be. You know, you and I could both be idiots.
Oh,
I don't know.
Get back to reality. That can't be true, Jeremy. Come on.
All right. Chris is on the line, actually. Chris, what do you think? Are we wrong?
I don't know. But I would just ask, is there a reason why somebody can't pay for their own abortion if they don't have coverage, why you can't just pay for the procedure? I mean, there's things that, you know, I don't anticipate paying for. I don't want to get a new transmission, but my insurance doesn't cover that. So
sure,
when that situation comes up, I have to go out of pocket on it. So
Chris,
I don't understand why, how the law changes whether or not you just pay for it.
Chris, what if your doctor told your wife that her life was at risk because of a pregnancy? That's not, in my mind, a regular abortion. That is certainly a medical procedure and should be covered under health insurance. As I said earlier, I can see where a woman could refuse to pay for optional abortion coverage if she never, by her philosophy, was ever going to have an abortion. But when you have cases of a woman's life being at risk, doctors preventing the death of a patient is legitimate medical coverage. That's not anything else.
And again, so is it outside of my purview to pay for that myself?
I guess if
I think that's definitely, and it's an interesting point to be able to say, well, why can't you pay for that on your own?
Yeah, I mean, we keep on trying to mandate what somebody else is going to pay for on our behalf when it's still legal to pay for it on your own behalf. And really, what we're talking about with as I understand the intent of the law, is to set it up so that state exchanges and eventually the federal exchange can't force what they said they weren't going to force on everybody, which is that I'm going to pay to subsidize somebody else's abortion. This is the backdoor way of trying to get, or the opposite of this, is a backdoor way to get somebody else to pay for an abortion that we are morally object to.
Well, we're talking about private insurance, though, aren't we?
Yeah, but eventually all these things go into, I mean, the state is telling the private companies what they have to do, what they have to provide for. And this, as I understand it, is an attempt to stop the state from overreaching. The state's not telling the,
Chris, but you're opposed to any kind of medical care. This is more than an abortion issue with you, isn't it? You think people ought to pay for their own health care in other areas. Or are your concerns here specifically because abortion is involved?
I think that currently the market is distorted by a three-party payer system that disconnects the provider from the person, the person seeking the service, and that three-party payer system, the insurance companies in the middle of that, and it's corrupting it.
My question was, Is this an abortion issue with you or a health care funding philosophical argument?
I morally object to abortion, so it is an abortion issue, but it is it's an easy enough issue to get around if you just fund your own abortion. Right?
So you think it's fair for a woman to have to pay for extra coverage in the outside event that she might get raped or have a pregnancy that threatens her life?
I would say that it's stupid to pay for abortion coverage on the outside chance that you might need an abortion because you got raped and or your life is threatened, that it's something that could come out of pocket.
That's easy for you. You're a man. You aren't going to get pregnant.
Sure, and I don't have any women in my life that I'm concerned about either.
Oh, okay.
So that makes it double easy. I mean, why do you always come up with those platitudes? You know, that I have women, my daughters, my granddaughter, and, you know, all the other women in my life that I'm equally concerned with as my own life. So I'm not trying to force them into something. I'm saying that if it happened to me and it became necessary, we would go out of pocket. That is not the extreme other position. That's the medium position. You can't force me to pay for somebody's abortion that I don't want to pay for. And that's what you're trying to
do. All right. Chris, we got to get to a break right now, but thank you for that call. I appreciate it. And as we continue ahead, a heated debate on this one, sounds like. So we are going to continue ahead. We've got Jay holding on the line for us. We'll get to Jay here in just a little bit after we have a brief news update. We'll continue.
Okay.
And the show continues ahead as promised. Phone conversation with Jay in Kalamazoo. Jay, you are on the line with us. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm morally opposed to eye care. I believe strongly that if God gave you nearsightedness, that you should just cope with that rather than getting corrective lenses or LASIK or anything else like that. I don't want to have to pay for other people's insurance on that.
Okay.
I mean, it becomes a ridiculous argument to try to enforce my religious beliefs on other folks. And I realize that trying to say that, you know, this writer is an attempt to give people who are pro-life the opportunity to not pay for abortions, but it just, you know, where does that stop exactly? I'm a little disappointed also that the legislature did not take the opportunity to is Viagra still covered by insurance? Why is it that women's reproductive health is always what gets becomes a choice for people to participate in or not, or to support or not, while men's reproductive health seems to be something we all are willing to pay for?
Well, and I think just on the note of Viagra, I mean, I think there's a difference there for that. I mean, you know, The right to life people, and myself included, can say that Viagra is not going to end a life. Abortion will.
But the Viagra may be indirectly involved in creating the need for an abortion.
Well, that could be. I don't know.
All right. Well, we could go down that. Yeah. But let's just take all reproductive health, men's, how about anything that deals with genitalia at all? If you want a vasectomy, you're going to have to pay for your pocket. You're going to take the potential for life to be created, out of the hands of this guy. So I don't want to pay for that. And I think that, you know, there are some in the Christian community that would, you know, disagree strongly with vasectomies and other forms of birth control controlled by men.
Okay. All right.
But here's a situation where, you know, again, as Roger was saying, you know,
okay,
you don't know when.
Jay,
when
we got to run, but thanks for making your points. Appreciate it.
Yeah. You like the Allman Brothers?
You know, I've liked every bit of music that's come up so far.
This
is nice.
Yeah.
This is nice.
You can't be a Southern boy and not like, even living down there, you can't not like the Allman Brothers.
See, I'm a Southern boy because I'm from Ohio originally. That's interesting.
Well, it depends on where in Ohio.
Western Ohio, actually.
Okay.
So. No, I will not argue a bit that there are parts of Ohio that are definitely Southern.
Yeah. You get down by Cincinnati, it's...
particularly southeast side of the state, which, by the way, I have relatives there, so I can speak with some authority that, yeah, there's some bit of the South there.
Mm-hmm.
But in a good way, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was not... that was not a disparaging remark. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. just, that's
no,
how
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. No, it's kind of funny because when we lived in Michigan before, my wife was accused of having a Southern accent.
Really?
Which I thought, okay. Well,
does she say
we're from Ohio? I don't know.
I have one benchmark test for that.
Mm-hmm.
Does she ever say y'all?
No.
Then she doesn't have a Southern accent.
And there's that line, and I don't know whether it's by Dayton, Ohio, or just a little further south of that. Where it's between you guys and y'all.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been on both sides of that, so
right,
I know.
Right. But if she ain't saying y'all, then she ain't got a Southern accent.
There you go.
How does she say New Orleans?
Well, see, that's a little different because we lived 2 hours from there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So how did she say New Orleans?
So I think when you're down there, you learn to say it like they do, which is New Orleans.
Yeah,
you know,
one word, New Orleans.
It's New Orleans. Yeah. No, yeah. but we actually did, within the last year or so, we spent some time in New Orleans. I really enjoyed it there. That was a fun city.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'll have to discuss beignets at a later time.
Oh, yeah. Café du Monde?
Of course. It's the only place to get them.
Hey.
It's the only place to get them, and they are amazing.
Coffee with a little chicory in it.
You know, the whole ball of wax.
Yeah.
You go, you do that, and then, of course, you walk in the French Quarter. I mean, there's not much better than that. We did it during the day, though.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't do it late at night.
I've done it both. Night has its charm.
Of course. Well, I was going to mention this portion of the show brought to you by West Michigan Office Interiors on Southwest Edge. You need to check out their winter clearance sale today. They got some good stuff. You'll want to see it. Now, we have we've been putting this off, and I don't think we need to because we've got listeners that enjoy movies.
Mm-hmm. Especially at the holidays.
Of course. And,
yeah.
You know, December, there's a ton of movies that come out. I mean, just looking at the list that I've got in front of me, I mean, you've seen, of course, Anchorman 2 is coming, which I'm one of those rare people that I don't like Will Ferrell, but I actually enjoyed Anchorman.
Okay.
So there's just something about, you know, hearing him go, news team, assemble. You know, the whole thing was great, but that one's coming up.
I have to agree with you, only Elf is the only...
Elf was a little different. I could put up with that.
Yeah,
but,
that's the only thing I've ever liked.
We're going to have to do sometime Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah.
What people like in that story. Maybe later
in
the show.
Fun.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But getting back to the topic of movies, Saving Mr. Banks is coming up. If you've seen the previews for that, that's Tom Hanks as Walt Disney and the whole... thing, I think it was with surrounding Mary Poppins and who wrote it and that kind of thing. And looks like it's a great show.
Yeah. Tom Hanks.
Yes.
I mean, you need say no more.
Of course. Something called Grudge Match, which all you need to do is say De Niro and Stallone. And you need say nothing else there. So you immediately know what that's all about.
I read a surprising review of that movie, and they expected it to be bad. And it wasn't as bad as they expected. So, overcoming weakness, perhaps.
Sure. But out in theaters right now, and what we have tickets for is a little show called Out of the Furnace. Now, Roger, I got to tell you, listen to this listing of stars on this thing: Christian Bale,
okay,
Casey Affleck, Woody Harrelson.
Whoa,
it gets better.
Okay,
Zoe Saldana.
Okay.
Forrest Whitaker, Willem Dafoe, and Sam Shepard.
How come I've never heard of the movie?
I don't know. I hadn't heard of it until I looked this thing up.
Wow.
But and actually, one of the names, a couple of the names in the in and among the producers, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wow.
And Ridley Scott involved with this one.
How come this hasn't surfaced?
I think this is one of those.
They don't need to advertise it. It's going to be a hit.
Well, it should be. Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out now. I think it came out in the shadow of Frozen and of course,
okay.
the second Hunger Games. So, you know, things are going to get a little buried there. But it sounds like it's a terrific movie. Because, I mean, Christian Bale, he was great in the Batman films.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he's in this one. Plays the older brother that's trying to help out the younger brother and that kind of thing. And it's just sounds like they're saying it's an American thriller.
I got an idea.
So, yes.
Why don't we send somebody to go see it with a friend?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Should we do it with a trivia question?
Why not? But we have a special kind of trivia question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Michael.
Coming
all right.
From producer Michael. Was this supposed to be like a stupid trivia question?
No, no.
An incredibly smart trivia question?
An incredibly smart trivia question.
Okay,
but
all
we harass Michael about it.
Yeah. All right. The trivia question is, what was the first Disney animated movie to receive a PG rating?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Not for all ages.
No.
The first movie. So they've done more than one.
We're talking animated.
Just animated.
Animated, okay.
An adult cartoon.
So that way you don't have people going, Old Yeller!
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the first animated Disney movie with a PG rating.
Mm-hmm.
So most of those got G ratings.
Yeah.
Very early on.
382-4280, 877-382-4280. Convince Michael you know the answer to that question. I don't.
I don't myself. I wish he would have shared it with me. I'm intrigued now.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to go with a friend to see Out of the Furnace. Sounds interesting.
I think we're out of the furnace temperature-wise.
I don't think we're anywhere close to the furnace as far as that goes. Bob Larson, would you agree with that we are totally not even near the furnace at this point?
I would agree. There's no question, no doubt in my mind.
How are you, Bob?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good.
You know what the low is this morning officially?
I don't want to know.
I figured you may not want to know.
I do, Bob.
Go ahead and tell us anyway, Bob.
4 above.
Wow. It was warmer at my place. I only got down to 7 this morning.
Ooh. There you go. Now, interestingly enough, that low of 4 occurred at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, we'd find the low occurring at 5 or 6 or maybe 7 a.m. So, Roger, if you check that low...
Ooh,
I
did.
9 a.m.
Well, I checked it when I first got up about 6:30.
And give you an example, at the airport at that point, it was 11 at 6 a.m. and 8 at 7. It kept going down. It didn't stop till it got to 4 at 9. So, you ultimately may have been lower than 7.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, it records the low temperature. I'll be checking when I get home, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, honestly.
I piqued your interest now.
Yeah.
Honestly, Roger, I just have to say, you know, Bob's the one with the degree in this whole thing, so I'm trusting Bob.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just something to watch for there.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob, word for the day.
Unrelenting.
I don't like that word.
But not permanent, right?
Not permanent. I'm sure by May it'll be warmer. No, wait a minute.
That makes us feel so much better.
Wait a minute. Now, actually, truth be told, I'm still sticking with what I talked about yesterday. I do see a brief, but a very distinct thaw coming next week. Brief as in maybe 2 days' worth, maybe 48 to, hey, I'll give you 2.5 days, 60 hours.
Mm.
Centered on next Thursday, a week from today, when I think it could actually rain.
Ooh.
Mm.
I don't like that, Bob.
No, and this is the time of year that when you think of rain, you think, uh-oh, there goes the melting snow, and it may be gone for the Christmas holiday. But
that's what I'm thinking.
I don't necessarily think it rains enough to wipe it all out, and especially given that we'll have more snow between now and next Thursday, and whatever is washed away, we could replenish a bit by what follows over next weekend as a reinforcing blast from the Arctic takes shape with more lake effect snow. So, and I think that will be still on the ground for Christmas.
All you need is an inch of lake effect.
Exactly.
And it looks like a white Christmas.
Right. So I think we got that going for us. But before we get to any warm-up, we got more cold, more snow to talk about.
How much?
Bob, I did want to ask this, because as we're looking ahead, I mean, obviously tomorrow's Friday, you got the weekend. There's an awful lot of people that are saying, I haven't got my Christmas shopping done.
That would be me.
I won't mention anybody's name, Jeremy Lawrence, but, you know, I'm curious about that. What is this going to be like for Christmas shoppers this weekend?
Well, we got snow to talk about. That moves in tomorrow night, probably later at night, maybe after 9, 10 o'clock, and then it snows the better part of Saturday, probably winding down late Saturday afternoon. Right now it looks like a 1 to 3 inch snowfall. That's not lake effect. That's a general 1 to 3 inches. The storm is to the south, so you get closer to the Indiana line, it might be somewhat heftier amounts, maybe 3 to 5 inches across the northern tier of Indiana. And same time, maybe lesser amounts north of here, maybe just an inch or two. But snow, but later tomorrow night through the better part of Saturday. And then lake effect snow showers behind that for Sunday and into Monday, probably not much more than an additional inch or two at the lake effect. So in terms of something that could slow down shopping, that might be the case for late Friday night and Saturday, especially Saturday morning.
Okay. Bob Larson with AccuWeather. Bob, thanks for getting us up to date on that. I mean, we don't like what you're telling us, but, you know, we do like you.
That's good. Just easy on the messenger.
And tomorrow's Geek Friday.
Oh, it is.
Yep.
We'll have numbers. We'll have numbers to talk about.
Ooh, I'm excited already.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Bob Larson there helping us out with the weather forecast.
And, weather was...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Weather brought to you by Bronson, the first hospital in the region to offer a new life-saving heart surgery. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/TAVR.
Okay, so before we go to the break, there are people wondering, all right, did somebody get this trivia question right, and what in the world was the answer?
Yes.
So we go back to see what happened.
Yes, someone got it on the second caller got it, and I was really surprised because this is a really obscure Disney movie. The answer was The Black Cauldron.
The Black Cauldron?
The Black Cauldron. Yeah, see.
I vaguely remember that one.
Yeah. Came out in 1985, the 25th film in the Walt Disney Animated Classics, and it's loosely based on the first two books in the Chronicles of Prydain by Lloyd Alexander.
Was there nudity in it or adult language?
I don't think so. I think if it had nudity in it, it'd probably been rated higher.
Oh, okay. What got it its PG rating? Violence?
I'm guessing, yeah, violence and probably scary images.
Darker tones.
Yeah, darker tone.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it received positive reviews, too, for being an obscure movie.
Ah.
Yeah.
I had heard of that one, but I don't think I've ever actually seen that one.
Now I'm going to have to see if it's out there on Netflix.
Yeah.
I got to see at least part of The Black Cauldron.
Mm-hmm. They at least have got a lot of Disney films on there.
Yes.
Say.
Yeah, but, they do.
What right, other PG movies had they done that were for more adult audiences?
Like non-animated movies?
No, animated.
Animated?
Yeah.
I'll have to research that one.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So who was our winner?
Our winner was Mike Helms.
Well, Mike congratulations, Helms. Mike.
Well, Mike gets to take in a movie that I think... Let me see if I've got the rating on Out of the Furnace here in front of me. It is not saying.
You pick up your tickets at our offices 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. Okay. We're on West Main at Northampton. We're the place with the big tower.
Next to the big metal stick in the air. You
can't
miss it.
You can see that from this side of the community. So you'll find us.
There you go. Okay. So congratulations on that. The show continues. You know what? I think we'll spend a couple of minutes still talking about that abortion issue.
Okay. We didn't resolve it, I don't think.
No, well, we never will, but we'll talk about it more here in just a little bit. Keep it right here. So back at it as we continue this discussion. And you know, earlier in the show, we were talking about the abortion bill that was passed. I guess you could call it the abortion law now. It will take effect in 90 days. And basically, this is the one that requires women who are seeking an abortion and want insurance to pay for it to pay for a rider on top of their policy to be able to cover that. They're saying that they don't want policies to cover them normally.
Right.
There needs to be a rider on that. Democratic State Senator Gretchen Whitmer is vowing to fight for the repeal of the law. The tough part about that is I look at, you know, she said, nope, shouldn't have been done, that whole thing. The repeal of the law, I think, is going to have to come through other means than the legislature, though. I mean, looking at the way this was passed, looking at the majority it got, that's going to be a tough one to try and get through the same legislature. I think that's going to be the kind of thing where you have to put it before the people.
Yeah. Well, this is a case of where the legislature overruled the governor, who is the leader of their party. This is the legislature telling Snyder, no, this is what we're going to do. And they found a way to make happen what they wanted to happen, even over his veto.
Now, I will say this. The way that government is set up, it provides for that sort of thing. So occasionally it can happen. But I think the thing that bothers me about this whole thing is a situation like this, an issue like this, this could be something you could bring before the people and say, here's a statewide issue. We're going to put it before you and let you decide this one. And I think, in my mind, that's the way it should have happened. Mm. Because then, you know, one way or another, then the people have spoken.
I'm not a believer in having rights up for a vote. Majority rule shouldn't be the determining factor in what's a right.
Wasn't in Obamacare, but that's a side trip.
I don't think we need to go down the Bill of Rights and periodically have a vote of the people. Should we continue to have free speech? Or are you hearing things said that you don't like?
Well, we're not talking, though, about, let's vote on free speech or freedom of the press or things like that. I mean, these are things that are part of the Constitution. But what we're talking about is, which to my mind, I don't think anybody has clearly demonstrated that there is a right to an abortion in the Constitution anywhere. I know the Supreme Court thinks they found it, but they haven't clearly shown anybody, in my mind.
Well, where does it in the Constitution say the government has the right to do that? You're taking it from there's no constitutional prohibition of banning abortion. Where in the Constitution does it give the government the power to do that? A strict constructionist could argue that there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the government control of a woman's uterus.
Well, and you can look at this from a lot of perspectives and say, all right, there's nothing in the Constitution that says we need to ban rape. But I think we can all universally agree rape is a bad thing and it needs to be a criminal act. You know, in terms of this, can you look at the Constitution and say a right to an abortion is in there? You know, was that something that in the Constitution that the people that were framing the debate and framing the Constitution could say, well, one day people will want to abort babies and here it is. You know, would there be something they could point to in that? I just don't see it.
Well, they didn't address the internet either.
Certainly not.
A document that was written several hundred years ago isn't going to include state-of-the-art advice on modern medical technology or computer technology.
Sure.
Let's see what Janet wants to do.
Tell you what, we're actually getting to CBS News.
Oh, well, we'll talk to Janet after news.
From the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.